attention.
All right.
So today is the 4th of January 2019. It is Chaf Zayin Teves Tavshin Ayin Tes Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and we are up to Perek Yud Daled. We'll do Rishonim on what we did yesterday. So we'll probably do. Cut the whole, it's a long parak, we'll cut it into two. We have Rishonim on the first half, a couple of, I think, pretty interesting things that show up right here in the beginning. And I just got stuck, couldn't go any further beyond here. So anyway, so we're in the beginning of Perek Yud Daled, Batisak Kol Eidah Beit Nuetz Kolam, Vayivku Ha'am B'Laylahu. So right away they pick up on the following somewhat seeming inconsistency within the pasuk. It says that the entire nation, it's Vayivtzak Kol Ha'idah, that the entire Eidah congregation gave their voice, Vayivku Ha'am, and the nation cried on that day. So it first says Kol Ha. What's the difference between Kol Ha'ida and then Ha'am, which appears in the second part of that pasuk. So the
Rashi picked up
on that, right? Kol Ha'ida, he says, is a Sanhedrios. So still not sure what he means by that. What he's
apparently the courts, right? They did it all at the same time, the whole congregation, and then at night the people kept crying.
Right.
A subset of that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is that what he's saying? Maybe that the first part is talking about the day, and then it's talking about that night. Okay, maybe. The Or HaChaim comments, Amru Ha'am, Balu Hispik Mesh Shezachar Hanosim Kolam, Lomar Ki Lo Kol Ha'idah Bachu B'Laylahu Ela Chelechahem. He suggests the Or HaChaim, that only a portion of them cried all night. That all of them got like very nervous right in the beginning, but only a portion of them cried for the entire night. And then he goes on to quote the Shamru Amar Kadosh Baruch, that you're crying, this famous Gemara in Masechta Sota, right, that we've probably heard before, that just as they cried, just as you're crying on that night for no reason, I'm going to give you reasons to cry this night. That's a Gemara in Masechta Sota, as well as a Gemara in Masechta Tainis. What night is that? What are we talking about? No. Tisha B'Av, thank you. Max wasn't even here for the question, and he got the answer, right? What? Tisha B'Av. What? Just as they cried the night of Tisha B'Av on that year, we assume the spies came back on the ninth of Av. They left on Yud Zayin Tammuz. We left on Tes Tammuz before that, and they cried that night. So where do we see that in the pasuk? So we'll get to it in the Ramban in a second. But the Or HaChaim also quotes that Gemara. That he explains that the first part, it says Kol Haida, the entire congregation cried on that night, and the next line is Vayif Ku Ha'am, is a reference to for all generations to come. I mean, that Gemara is not. The Rabban also wonders, where do we exactly do you see that in the text? But the Or HaChaim says that one of the lines, does that generation, is for the entire generations that are yet to come. It's into two in that pasuk. The Rabban also quotes that pasuk. It says, "Amar Rabbi Seinu, Heim Bachu Bechia Shalchin Vaniyah Kfal Lehem Bechia Ladoros V'lo Yadati Meizer Emesh Parsha." I don't know where the Gemara got that from. He says, "The truth is, the Rabban, rather Or HaChaim tried to pick up something in the pasuk itself." The Ramban says, "No. It's not actually here. Rather, it's a several psukim that appear over the course of Tehillim Parak Kuf Vav by Masuba Eretz Kamdav Lo Haminu Ledvar VeYergino BeElohayim VeLo Shamu B'Kol Hashem, that the land, the beautiful land, the desirous land, was Yemasu, was made Mias, was made like disgusting in the eyes of the people." And they didn't trust Hashem, and they murmured against Hashem, and they didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. And they raised their hands, and then fell in the midbar. And their hands were raised against them, they fell in the midbar. And then later on in the pasuk it says that your children, it will be a disaster. So what does that mean? That originally it was your problem, and you all fell in the desert, and in the future your children will feel it as well, that your children will also have difficulties from that land, which was going to go on for all generations. The Ramban quotes that idea in Maseches Tainis and Maseches Sota, that is the source for Tisha B'Av, the source for all of the problems being on Tisha B'Av. It's rather than being a pasuk, rather than being this pasuk, as appears in a pasuk in Tehillim. Continues on the pasuk, they complained against Moshe and Aaron. So the fact, you don't think about why were they complaining against Moshe and Aaron? It's an interesting question. I didn't think about this until noticing this. Why would they complain against Moshe and Aaron? Right, what do they do? Certainly Aaron. What did Aaron do? Right? They come to Moshe is the one who's encouraging them. We're all going to Eretz Yisrael. They come, Moshe, we're going to spy out the land. The spies come back with a difficult report. Kalev jumps up and says, nah, come on, everything's going to be okay, we should all go. Moshe hasn't spoken yet. Right? Moshe hasn't spoken yet. So what is their complaint against Moshe? So it says this for us, because in their perception is, Moshe is the one who brought them out, and now they're going to die in the desert. So it's not about, it's not necessarily about the action that took place now. It's rather, Moshe, you're the leader, right? They said to Moshe, Moshe, you're crazy. You brought us out of Egypt in order to give us to the Amorim. And that's what they're complaining against Moshe about. Okay, what's next? The Ramban in Pasuk Gimel. They say, why did Hashem bring us to this land to fall by the sword? It would be better for us to return to Egypt. So says the Ramban, they didn't say anything about the bad land. That is a pasuk. He actually quotes it. A pasuk in the beginning of Malachim Beis, when they come to Elisha and complain about him. I mean, that's just a description about Eretz Yisrael when there's no rain. So lo yaskiru, they don't mention the difficulties of the land, ki yastiru ha'am hadavar hazeh mimoshe, because they actually hid that from Moshe. The Ramban actually creates a sub-story going on here, that when they don't mention the idea that the land is difficult, because they didn't want Moshe to know about that. Midashalo amru hashluchim kein b'hashivam davar elav b'el kol ha'ida ki Moshe ve'aron yidubam ki sheker davru. Because they couldn't come and say in front of everybody, oh, by the way, the land is very difficult, because Moshe would have called them liars. Now, I'm not sure how Moshe could have called them liars. How does he know? But Moshe would have accused them v'amaraglim atzmam histiru zemi Moshe. So therefore, Maraglim kept that away from Moshe. Now, Moshe's going to, I guess the argument Moshe would have back is, well, I'm a prophet. I know. I'm a Navi. And I'm going to call you liars, because that's against the Nevuah. I mean, it's not against the Nevuah that it's going to be difficult to conquer the land. It's against the Nevuah to say that the land is bad. So they didn't say in front of Moshe that the land is bad, says the Ramban. But what did they do? They did go around and tell everybody privately, by the way, the land's not too hot either. You know, like there's a lot of traffic, gas is expensive, you know. Right, it's very hard to eat. Price of meat is high. Let's leave that and continue on a little bit. Yeah, so in Pasuk Yud, right, what happens? In Pasuk Hey and Vav, so Moshe falls on his face, Yeshua and Kalev tear their garments, and they say, now it's unclear who is speaking, we'll assume all of them say, they know we should go and land's going to be good. If Hashem wants to bring us here, he's going to give us the land, don't rebel against Hashem. And everybody said, what's the response in Pasuk Yud? Vayomru kol hayda, lirgomu sam bavanim, that we're going to stone him. Right? So the Orach Chaim is bothered, seemingly, by the question of, this isn't the first time somebody has fought back. This isn't the first time that somebody jumped in and argued back against the Meraglim. Right, we had that already in the previous parak. Who argued back? Kalev, right away they speak, and Kalev jumps in, and that's where Rashi says, yeah, Kalev quotes the Medrash about Kalev saying, you know what Ben Amram did, he did all these other things, got to be quiet in order to give an argument back. So the Orach Chaim's like, why are they only deciding to stone him now? Shouldn't they have stoned him in the previous parak? Right, where all of a sudden are the stones coming from? So Tzarech Ladas Lamalo Nirgashu B'Maimer Rishon Shamar Kalev Alana Levi Yershanu Nochala. Why at that point did they not stone it? V'Nira says the Orach Chaim Kil Divrei Kalev Lo Chashashu. They weren't nervous about just Kalev. Lefi Shadvarav B'Teilu Me'atzman, because his words are batal. His words are nullified. Shein edus yachid omedes legabi edus rabim. Because how many people are speaking up? One, right? What do we call a one witness?
Nothing.
Right? But he's not, or at least certainly he's going to be defeated by everybody else. Right? Therefore they you know, so what? Because Kalev jumps in and says, no, we can go and do it. Right? So Kalev is going to be bottled. He's going to be nullified, not going to listen to him. But now, it's not just Kalev, it's Yehoshua and Kalev. So me'ata hora edus misraglim kidin Shnayim Edim Kedin Meya Edim. And what's the rule when you have two Edim versus eight Edim? Who do we listen to?
Eight.
No. Two, both. Yeah. Right? Two Edim are considered like Meya Edim Dami, the Gemara says. It's like 100 Edim. So now it's an even fight. It's Yeshua and Kali versus the rest of them. Me'ata hora edus hamaralgim kidin shnayim edim kidin me'edim ve'edus shakul edus, and therefore it's equal. Ve'ein kan edus lo shel maralgim lo shel Yehoshua v'kalev v'kalev v'chazor edin l'masha hayakum. It goes back to the beginning before they sent the maralgim. Lazeh chashu lehem v'amru lirgamosam. That's why they said, all right, well, we got to get rid of them.
Also, a crowd gets worked up, you know. As time goes on,
right.
They work themselves out.
Right, so why didn't they do this? This is just Dorachayim. So why didn't they do this? Why didn't they just say, well, you have two Edom against 10, but it doesn't matter, plus 2 equals 10 when it comes to witnesses? It says, well, maybe if Esher should done to be Yeshua, she'll hustle the Edom's Vashon and Gael Moshe, he hai Mishar Samu B'chor. It says, but maybe Yeshua didn't count. Right, that... I mean, the first thing Dor HaChaim says is, well, now they got to stone them because Yeshua and Kalev are equal, but yet they're not. I mean, at the end of the day, they don't stone Yeshua and Kalev, so why do they listen to the 10 over the 2? Says because maybe Yeshua is really considered Pasul Eidos. Why is he Pasul Eidos? Because he's like Yeshua, he's like Moshe's prime Talmud. He's too close to Moshe, therefore he doesn't count. I don't know what to do with these types of Orachais when he starts getting these halachic issues here. I don't see that as being the discussion that was going on at the time. But yet he is, he's pointing out this this phenomenon that seems to be playing out over these psukim. Okay, so we turn to Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17 here. And he says, and this is Moshe's argument towards Hashem, he says, V'ata, he says, and now, Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, Hashir Dibarta Lemur. And now we should strengthen the strength of Hashem. As you said previously. And then he goes on and says, Hashem Erech Apayim Baruch Hesu Nusiyam V'Fashav V'Nakei L'Nakei. He quotes the several of the Midas HaRachmon. We'll get to which ones in a moment. But what is he getting at beforehand? Right? What is the strengthening? What is the Yigdal is Gadol, greater, like greaten. I'm not sure, I don't know what the verb of make greater the strength of God. Right? Make God great again, something like that. Kasher divarta lemor, as you said. So what is Moshe exactly asking for over the course of that pasuk? Right? Especially, you know, he never says what that. So what is that? What is the make God greater that Moshe is asking for? So Sforno comments. He says, yeah, lichvosh es midas hadin. Go ahead and conquer the midas hadin. Go and override, mean beat the midas hadin. It's mean get stronger, get bigger, and beat out the characteristic of judgment that would otherwise call for destruction of the Jewish people. Right? That's what the Sforno seems to say. The Or HaChaim has a bit of a different take. You're going to be greater. How are we going to make Hashem great again? So this is actually what the Sforno says. Yishalhar echad omru va'ata beiz omru yigadol. At first he said, speak. And then he says, speak and make great. So masha shiyasu ezed davar shebo yigdal od. It sounds like he's asking Hashem to do something that will make Hashem's name greater. Right? We don't see anything like that. Right? We don't see that other than Hashem forgiving us. That doesn't necessarily fit with the idea of getting greater. So Rashi's take is, yeah, that I think that is what meaning overcome your desire to destroy us and beat that and allow us to continue on. But Rosh Chaim says, no, I want to see where Hashem actually does come out greater from this. Right? We don't find it. We don't find that Hashem does this. Right? Gimel Amruna. Okay, so he says, "Achein," says the Or HaChaim, "L'tzad shenishakim Moshe b'tayna hanishmas ki shchil Hashem gadol b'hamisa." Right, what was Moshe's primary argument to allow the Jewish people to not be destroyed right now?
He's appealing to Hashem's ego, so to speak.
Yeah.
Don't do it for the people. Do it for yourself.
Right. Well, how is it doing it for Hashem? What is the appeal to Hashem?
Because if he destroyed the Jewish people, everybody would say that
these would be a few. Right? The previous five psukim up to now was Moshe making the argument to Hashem, you know, listen, Hashem, you're in this too deep. If you destroy us, you're going to end up looking really bad, because the perception that will be brought out by the fake news mainstream media, right, is that the reason you're bringing us down is because you couldn't handle the Canaanites. So, you got us out of Egypt, but you weren't able to handle the Canaanites. You were looking for any kind of excuse to get rid of us, and therefore you got rid of us. That's going to be the word on the street. They're going to assume the reason you're getting rid of us is because you can't handle the pressure, the wars that are going to be coming, right? So that's the argument that he brought now. So now Moshe turns around and says, make your name greater. How does it mean make your name greater? It says the Or HaChaim, God b'hamisam hosif l'daber, ki ata yesh yisron l'gdula so yisbarach im yashuv mechron apo. Right, there will actually, your name will come out better from this if you return from your anger. Right, v'yichnesu yisrael ar, so you bring Yisrael into the land. Mashalo haya mikodem inyin zeh, which didn't exist beforehand. Why? V'usha achar shesipru hamaraglim haflas tokev ha'aretz v'gurus ha'giborim. The spies came back, and they came and said how huge, tremendous, stupendous, amazing, and fabulous the people are that we're going to have to fight against. And even so, Yisrael is going to go in and conquer and inherit the land. That's how Hashem's name is going to be greater, right? So that's what Moshe is saying. Moshe's argument is, right, first of all, if you take us out, everything, you're going to look really bad. Plus, people think you're not so powerful. But now that everybody is so afraid of who we're going to have to face in there, so when we are victorious, you're going to have a even greater name afterwards. It's going to be even more of a Kiddush Hashem than it would have been before that. That's the pshat that Rachaim gives in Yigdal Na Koach Hashem. That you're going
to flatter.
What?
Flattery.
Are you okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll get away.
All right. Okay, so now there's a famous Ramban here. I think I gave a shiur on this, just this Ramban. Years ago, I think I called it Judaism's Magic Words. It's actually like one of the, makes it onto the YU Torah like pre Yom Narayim list every year. This idea, but it's really just quoting this Ramban. So we'll just go through the Ramban. The Ramban points out that over the next pasuk, Hashem says, Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed nosi avon v'fasha v'nakei lo yinake. So those are several of the Midas HaRachim. Those are several of the characteristics of mercy which Hashem instructed Moshe to say when they're in trouble, right? But it's missing a few. So why are we missing a few? What happened to those that were missing? So based on which ones are missing, the Ramban could explain which ones are, like what they mean. So the Ramban comes and explains. He says, "V'derech emes takir ivnei Hashem b'makom hazeh kasuv ba'alef dal." He says, first of all, recognize, it's interesting, that Hashem's name is written alef dal and nun yud. Why is that? So v'yomu shiyeh hagdula b'koach harachamim. He says, because that is Hashem's greatness in his koach harachamim, in the strength of the rachamim. In fact, that's what he's explaining with what we just got from the Or HaChaim. He's saying, yigdal na koach ado ad alef dal and nun yud, right? Strengthen the midas harachamim, Because the midah ki midas hadin hi shemisvacha kenegdam. Because we're facing the midas hadin. So Rabban says that's really the pshat in the pasuk, right? The midas hadin is coming after us. The midas hadin is saying the characteristic of judgment is saying the Jews should all be destroyed. And I'm saying yigdal na koach aleph dalid nun yud. Right, the strength of the aleph dalid nun yud name should be strengthened, because that represents the characteristic of mercy. So that's the Ramban's pshat in the Yigdal Na Koach Hashem. Then he continues on and says, "Uvihisker midas erach apayim v'rav chesed v'lo hisker emes." Why does it not mention emes? Ki midas emes yuchayavim, because the midas emes they would be obligated. I mean, if Hashem was using the midas emes, so then they would be they'd be subject to death. Now, the truth is, we spoke in shul a couple of, I think 2 years ago, before Ne'ilah, I talked about the Midas Ha'emes. What does it mean? Why is that even part of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim at all in the first place? And this seems to go against that pshat that he gave at that point, so maybe we'll have to figure that out in the days to come. But anyways, Ki Midas Ha'emes Yechayam. If I'm low Hiskir, what else do we not mention here? Notzer Chesed La'alafim. He does kindness to the myriads and the thousands. Why? Because Moshe is not actually davening in the merit of the fathers, right? No, his kindness to all the descendants is that's a reference to the merits of the fathers. So why? Because the land was given to the avos, and that's who they're inheriting from. And what are the people doing by saying we don't want to go into the land of Israel? We are rejecting the merits of our fathers, right? That's what the act is. So Moshe feels uncomfortable, at the very least uncomfortable, asking Hashem to save us in the merits of the father, whose merits the Jews are rejecting by not wanting to go into the land of Israel. So that's why Notzer Chesed La'alafim is not mentioned over the course of this Midas Rachamim. What else does he say here? V'lo hisker v'chata'a, right? We don't mention here v'chata'a at the end. Bavur she'ilu mezid muposhim, right? V'chata'a is as did by accident, right? The Jews are doing that on purpose. Now, I'm not sure how you estimate that, how you figure that out, who exactly is violating this on purpose? Is it the Meragim that are violating on purpose, or the Jewish people? I'm not sure what the Ramban means by that. But he says Moshe can't invoke, oh, come on, they did it by accident, if it's not an accident. Now, which part of it is not an accident is unclear to me. And then he says, now, being merciful and chanun is, charming, why are those not mentioned? So the Ramban says, truth is, I don't really know. Right? Ulai, but I'll give you a suggestion. It says Ulai yada Moshe ki adin matuach alihem v'lo yimcha liyolam, that Moshe perhaps knew that if they were just going to ask for mercy, that wasn't going to be enough. Lachin lo bikosh rak arichos apayim shelo yamitam ki ish echad v'lo yashchitam kitzon hamidbar sheyemusud magifa. But what he did ask was just a lengthening of the anger, so that they don't all die at one time, right? Like sheep in the desert, that they'll just die in some kind of plague, but rather it'll be drawn out for a while. And that's what Moshe was requesting. And then continues the Ramban and says, "Uavur shelo bikish ata ela richos apayim." And because Moshe didn't ask except for arichos apayim is the lengthening of the anger. Because Moshe only asked for that, Hashem responded by saying, "Omer lo salach lekivaracha." Right, that you're going to have this, but you are going to be punished on behalf of this din. Now, this did lead me to wondering: is that a problem? Hashem is able to, because Moshe only asks and says, Erech HaPayim, that you're going to lengthen the anger, it's not going to be all at one time, it's going to be over a long period, and therefore the Jewish people are going to be saved. So Hashem says, oh yeah, I'll forgive you according to what you said. Now what if Moshe would have said, no, I want to be totally forgiven? So Ramban seems to be indicating that that wasn't available. Right? That seems to be how the Ramban is twisting it. But maybe I could twist the other way. Maybe Moshe should have asked for it. Right? So we do have a concept, right? That's the famous machlokas, so to speak. Not really a machlokas, but the famous story of Shimon, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was, when under the siege of the Romans, was secretly pulled out of the... out of Yerushalayim, and finally met Nebuzradan, who was then becoming an emperor, and Nebuzradan was so impressed by him, right? There's a whole story that Nebuzradan said, I'll give you three wishes, to which he requested, he says, give us Yavne v'chach Moseh, right? And so, give us Yavne, meaning you can destroy Yerushalayim, right? And the Beis HaMikdash, but just let us make sure that we're saved, right? So Rabbi Akiva comes and criticizes him later on. Rabbi Akiva, who lived a generation later, says, if I were there, I would have asked him to save Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, right? So who's right in that machlokas? I don't know if we ever know. I don't know if we'll ever know who's right in that machlokas, right? We seem to assume that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was right. At least we don't, like, knock him down. Rabbi Akiva is a pretty powerful voice on the other side, right? So is it the same type of thing here? And is making arguments to Nebuzradan about, you know, how much can I possibly pull out of the Roman Emperor, the same as making an argument to Hashem and trying to figure out how much I could possibly pull out of Hashem? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's someone who speaks about this as we go through this. And then I wanted to point out one more sforno here. It's almost like humorous. On the pasuk of Salachti Kivarecha, right? Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kivarecha. What does it mean, Salachti Kivarecha? So, as you said, that we're not that Hashem and Rashi is a little bit more of this attitude. Hashem says, yeah, like you said, I don't want people to say that I'm this terrible God or this weak God, so I'll allow the Jewish people to live and ultimately, eventually, get into the land of Israel, right? That's the way Rashi interprets it. Says the Sforno. Right, when I said that I'm going to have them die in a plague, where did he say that? That was the original thing that Hashem said, that I'm really annoyed with them, and I'm going to, where is it? How long am I going, right? How long are they not going to believe in me? I'm going to smite them in a plague. Now, what did that mean? So I think we originally read that as, I'm going to spike them as plague, they're all going to be smitten at one time. The Sforno says, no, what do you think dever means? Dever means a plague. The Sforno actually says, Kishamarti achenu bedever, kvar salachti bazal ofen shata omer. When I said I would kill them in a plague, the verdict was what you are begging for now. Right, I was never going to kill them all at one time. You think I want the Egyptians to say, right, all of your arguments, right? You think I would do that? No. He says, Kulam Yachtov, says the Sforno. I never had in mind that I was going to kill them all at once. I was going to kill them little by little in the desert. And not let one of them into the land of Israel. That was, and it seems like the Sforno say that's my original plan. So this idea of Moshe's davening and asking for tshuva, etc., Hashem loves him and says, of course, right? I'll do everything you say, Moshe, which is what I intended on doing originally, right? But I'll do everything you say, Moshe. Now, what does that do with this pasuk of Moshe davening, which is like a primary pasuk for our slichos, right? We say it in slichos over and over again. We say it as part of Kol Nidre, right? What do we do with that pasuk if, right, it's according to the Sforno, Moshe's not actually getting anything out of it, right? Moshe didn't actually get didn't get any concessions from Hashem.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
You don't buy it. All right, the Bruce is the anti-Sforno.
because it says that and annihilate them.
He will.
Yeah, but before they go into the land.
I mean, you don't like his shot in the first pasuk.
I don't like the shot. I don't like
you think you right? All right. Well, you okay? So either Bruce is knows better than Sforno, or he's brainwashed by Rashi. I think brainwashed by Rashi. No, I think that's because you're used to the way we've reading it until now. But the Sforno's like hits you like a ton of bricks. Like, what do you mean by that?
It's a manifestation. I mean, Moshe has free will. Right?
Yeah.
So he's dominated his free will Hashem already knows what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah,
right, this raises all these questions, right? How does tshuva work ever? Right? If Hashem knows the future, so how does that play? So this seems to be an example of that.
It has nothing to do with necessarily subjugating your free will. You can still do, because you know.
No, he's praying. Moshe's praying for something, right? Hashem already knows what's going to happen.
So what?
So if Hashem knows, how is it free will? How is his prayer going to do anything if it's...
How does any prayer do anything?
Well, That's the question.
That's a good question. Now, we do say, Ma'avir Nesroa HaGezer removes the evil decree. Right? That's part of our understanding. That we are. It's not that Hashem was going to do it anyways. Right? Our normal assumption is that there is a decree, and we are getting rid of that decree. And I think the way we always thought about this story was that there was a decree. And Moshe jumped in there and removed the decree. This Sforno is all of a sudden like, no, not really. or maybe Moshe didn't aim high enough. Yes, Max.
I hold that you could pray. If you pray, there's an opportunity to invalidate the...
Correct. Right. No, I think, for sure, just the Sforno seems to be right. Implying that didn't happen in this case.
It goes like, why when Avram passed the test, Hashem says, now I know that you're
right.
Faithful. Well, Hashem knew that before.
Okay.
Hashem knows everything.
I hear. So this calls into question the tshuva issue.
It is, but it falls into everything. How can you have free will and God knows everything?
That might be correct, but we generally don't read pshat in the psukim like that, right? We generally understand our explanation of the Torah as that we are working and etc. We don't normally insert Hashem in that way into the parsha until the Sforno did right here. You got to figure out how to understand that Sforno. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good one, Shabbos.